Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and it's my stage name. I also perform not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking to hold you back today. And I want to say to you, there are just right. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some reason...
Welcome. You've just tuned in to the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you that success is yours if you dare to dream and keep thinking big. You will discover your purpose in life. You've just tuned in to another exciting broadcast. So let me say this to you before we get started. Put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad, because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. For those of you who've tuned in with us for the first time today, we want to thank you and welcome you for tuning into the broadcast. You can check me out on Twitter. That is at C the Motivator. The letter C as in cow, MRMOTIVATOR. And you can also check out my blog, which is dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. That's dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. And if you have questions, you can email us, which is cthemotivator@yahoo.com. The letter C as in cow, CHEMOTIVATOR@yahoo.com. And feel free to dial in and get with us on a live broadcast. And that number is area code 323-580-5712. We'd love for you to be with us on a live broadcast. Folks, we are going to deal with thinking beyond boundaries. We are dealing with situations in our life that require us to think beyond the boundaries that we are faced with in life. Do you know that thinking is the most powerful tool in the universe? We are going to explore the thinking process. And our guest who's with us today is a professional. He's an entertainer. And he's also worked in corporate America in different aspects, marketing, event planning, technical and information technology. We want to welcome our guest today who understands going beyond boundaries, who understands what it is to break your success barrier and move even further in the church. We want to welcome with us today Mr. Jerome Roy. Jerome, welcome to the broadcast, and thank you for coming out.
Thank you, Mr. Motivator, and it's my pleasure to be here, giving all praises to God. And I want to thank you again for my opportunity to visit with you here and your listening audience.
Oh, well, thank you, Jerome. We decided that we wanted to cover an area that most people are challenged. And basically we find that thinking is an element that's simple, but yet it's a problem for those that don't use it or don't focus on using it regularly. Now, I also, I think I left out the fact that you are an educator and you know what it's like to think, because that's been your world challenging students to think and to stay out of trouble and to use their thinking skills to create success. So tell us what comes to your mind when you hear the word thinking.
Well, when it comes to thinking, automatically, if I was talking to a group of kids, children or students in any particular educational level, that word thinking automatically refers to or should spark their attention to go towards thinking about something being beginning a process, in other words. In other words, it's the same thing as the way you enter something into a computer. Computer is really only as smart as the people that program it
mm-hmm.
and the people that use it.
Mm-hmm.
So until you do something or until you install something in it, the computer is just a piece of equipment that's not going to do anything if it hasn't been programmed or you're not doing something to utilize the software or programming that's been entered into its database.
Awesome.
Into its hard drive, you know, and everything. So same thing with the students. When you talk about thinking or you're trying to get them to think,
uh-huh.
you're asking them to draw your attention to a process. In other words, let's explore what thinking is or what is the process of thinking. And if you compare that basically to using the analogy of them, of their minds or brains being the same as what they easily relate to, which is a computer,
mm-hmm.
Then God gave us the best computer in the world when he created them. So that's what you're trying to get them to understand. As great as the technology is these days and as great as the technology will ever be in the future, it will never be as great as the minds that create that technology. And that's what we have to always remember. A lot of people lose sight of that because of the technology being, in the way of say, advancing so fast and it's starting to get a little bit more complex.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those that do not understand or is not trying to keep up with the understanding of what that technology is all about or even how to implement it or take advantage of it, it could be intimidating to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's why I also deal with media literacy, which a nonprofit, Texas Media Literacy Association.
Yeah, tell us about this.
That is what we focus on, because computers, any type of electronic media, for his audio, video productions, I mean, just anything, you know, that they can get information from. This is the focus of what media literacy is all about, making sure people understand and be aware that media literacy is the new literacy of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many different types of media now that we rely upon on a daily basis, 24/7 pretty much, but we just don't think about it. And that's something that people should be thinking about. And unfortunately, media literacy is a worldwide movement, but a lot of people are not even aware of this worldwide movement, and that's unfortunate, but that's why we continue to try to open up people's eyes and their minds to this movement, because it's very important, because anyone in this day and age that's not at least trying to become a media literate person, they will fall by the wayside, not only with their employment, but with their social activities as well, because that is what the world is basically evolving around now more than ever, is media, pretty much, or some types of media, or a combination of all of the above, of course.
Yes.
So this is why there's such a need and it's such a necessity for people to mm-hmm. start to pay attention to that. And getting back to your original point about the thinking process,
mm-hmm.
that's what you do when you're analyzing media and trying to evaluate things and understanding what is the real message, you know, what's the purpose behind it, you know, what's the real intentions, in other words. And then once you realize all that, then you try to, you know, respond to that situation and everything. So this is kind of what you think, you talk about when you're talking about thinking, with the students and everything. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get them to understand a process and how important it is to understand what the process is and what you're going to do, make them familiar with some of the territory that comes along with that process. In other words, as you go from start to finish, no matter whether you're just thinking about something for a second, or if you're thinking about it for a minute, or if you're thinking about it for an hour, make them understand doing that in that process or in the duration of that process, what am I actually going, or what can I expect to encounter, or what can I, or what's expected of me, what do I need to do, and what should I really be experiencing in this process? So it's quite a bit that goes along with that word thinking that you asked me the first time.
Wow. You know, Jerome, what comes what I think about now, being an educator, and I know you've had to address this. There are students we constantly have to get on to. They're in the classrooms. They're out in the hallway. You see them. They have their earphones in their ears, and they have their iPhones and their MP3 players, and they are listening to a lot of the rappers. Okay. Now, how do you feel about that? Do you think that the rappers understand media literacy, and that's why they seem to be very effective, or they're powerful when it comes to the kids listening to rap music or capturing the students' attention? And so how do you feel about that? Do you feel like the rappers really understand media literacy, and that's why they have such a powerful effect with a lot of our students today?
Well, I'm sure the rappers, the entertainers that are classified as being rappers, they're well aware of a lot of the different types of media that's used in their particular career field.
Mm-hmm.
Again, but the problem with media and media literacy is that the way that we've become so, taking things for granted when it comes to media, that we really don't think about it. A lot of the things that they utilize now that they maybe was not even available when, say, back in the day, so to speak, when earlier types of production were being done,
yeah.
There's so many other types of production and different types of media that goes into, as far as creating product that rappers use and other entertainers as well,
mm-hmm.
that most of them not really focus on a lot of the external type, situations that take place in productions. They're aware of what their role is and for us when they're being either videotaped or where they're being recorded. They understand what that type of situation is and what takes place, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But they really just don't think about it in terms of I'm dealing with a certain type of media here, or how many other types of media is being involved in my production or even after the production. You know, when you talk about marketing and promotion, you know,
mm-hmm.
once you create the product, now there's a whole other situation that takes place that involves media when you start talking about the marketing and the promotion. You know, so this is something that, again, they may be aware of and see people doing all these different things, but they don't really think about it, in other words, that much, you know, about trying to analyze it and figure it out as to how it all intertwines together or how, you know, what's the overall concept of the whole thing. They just pretty much leave that up to the professionals that are surrounded, their, you know, environment, in their environment, and also that they trust to do the right things or do the things that they're being paid to do. So, again, they do know that they're dealing with different types of media and everything in what they do every day. But reason why it would be much better for them to focus and also become a media literate person is because the more aware they are of the different types of media and how these things affect what they do and how they could even say, better understand the production process and be able to do some of these things themselves, at least be aware of it themselves, then the less dependent they would have to be upon others to do some of the things that they're spending a lot of money, because what a lot of people don't realize, especially young people, you see a lot of elaborate productions going on when it comes to music videos and things like this, but
the
bottom line is somebody has to pay for all this, and guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It's being charged back to that artist. So, you know, it looks great, and it sounds great and everything, but what a lot of young people don't understand is that that budget, those budgets, ultimately is going to be charged back to those artists. That's who's really paying for these. So these people really are working for that artist, and that artist is going to have to pay the cost of the expenses of those productions and things like this because of the fact that before they get money that's due to them, expenses have to be deducted. So all that elaborate recording you did in the studio that you thought somebody else is just giving you a free ride on or whatever, when it comes down to getting a paycheck or royalties, now you realize that, hey, you know, now I see why they try to tell me I'm running short on money when I was looking for a lot bigger paycheck. That now when they pull out the books, then you see that that elaborate recording session you did on your last CD, guess what? You paid for it. And the same thing as far as a lot of expenses that go with touring or you're doing your live performance and things like this, you have to understand that all these things at some point is tied back to the business part of what you do, and you have to learn to understand that this will make a difference. And then again, that goes back to that key word, what you're saying, thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn to utilize your brain, in other words, to so you can start to perceive how all these things take place, why they take place, how they affect you, so that you can understand where you've been, where you are, and what it's going to take for you to keep going in the direction where you're attempting to or planning to or hoping to go. So that's kind of what's happening with that. And yes, again, back to the original question about the rappers and media lyrics, they do need to be. As a matter of fact, I always say everyone needs to be media literate. So it doesn't matter if you're a rapper, it doesn't matter if you're an actor, it doesn't matter if you're a singer, a vocalist, it doesn't matter if you're a fabulous musician,
yeah.
Doesn't matter if you're a clergyman, doesn't matter if you're a politician, doesn't matter if you're an administrator in the educational arena. Everyone needs to be a media literate person in the 21st century.
Okay. Wow. Now, I attended a workshop a couple of weeks ago, and as a matter of fact, I ran into you at the workshop, and there were a lot of talented artists up on stage, and I saw you address the young people that were performing, and you challenged them to think, and you challenged them to think about themselves and what they were trying to do and how to capture the audience, and you told them to make that transition before they walked out on the stage, because for some reason, you know, I guess some of the artists weren't really, you could see they had something bothering them, or they had other things interfering them. So could you kind of reiterate on why you challenged those young people to think before they walk out on the stage, and to focus entirely on the audience?
Yes, what I spoke to those young people about, as far as again back to your key word, thinking. They have to think of themselves in the way that they would want their audience to perceive them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you have to go ahead of the game. You have to, before you have even set foot on the stage, you have to already be thinking about and seeing yourself on stage.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, you have to even see yourself of how you even made an entrance onto the stage. You have to, in other words, just to give you a quick example.
Yeah.
If you see yourself as they introduced you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of sort of cordially sort of walk out with a sort of blasé attitude, in other words, and that type of body language as well, going along with it, then that's the way you would have come out from the start and projected that type of body language and that type of attitude, so to speak, to your listening or viewing audience out there, and automatically you just shot yourself in the foot when you did that.
Yeah.
Because the opposite of that is, now think ahead of yourself and they introduce you. Now you hear a crowd is excited and ready to receive you. So now you come out with the same type of enthusiasm, even multiplied a few hundred times, that you see yourself coming out with some great energy, high energy. That's a good key word right there as far as high energy.
Yes.
Because that stimulates people right from the beginning and gets their adrenaline going. And then, so when you come out and you start and you're projecting that like right away from the beginning, then automatically from that point on, now they're feeling this coming from you and it affects them. So it's what I told them. I said, you're going to get out what you, you know, what you put in. So if you put this type of energy out there on the table right away and visually and orally, you know, as far as what they hear and see, then this is kind of what you're going to start to project out to them. And, of course, the feedback from them would be that they will receive it and throw it back to you, and you create a good cycle then. So now you got some good things going on here. Everything started off on the right foot, on a high note, and you're feeling good. You should be feeling happy. You should see yourself already ahead of time, like I was saying, before you even ever got on that stage. You should see all this taking place. That's where that thinking process comes in, which what you're saying. In other words, doesn't matter if it's a limited amount of space, doesn't matter if it's a huge amount of space. You learn to condense and expand as an entertainer or performer. Doesn't matter. So the same thing you would normally do on that big stage, if it's a small amount of stage, you can still, you learn to condense what you do and still make the most of that small space and create that same excitement that you would have walked out on a big concert stage with.
Wow.
You create the same type of enthusiasm. You project that same type of attitude to your audience, and this is what you're going to be sure to get back. In other words, because another key thing I told them was that if you don't believe when you walk out on that stage, if you don't see yourself doing this and being successfully, you know, making this process take place, you don't truly believe in your mind and in your heart and your spirit and your soul that this is the what you're going to be doing when you get out there, if you don't truly believe it, you can't expect them to believe it, not one second.
Wow.
So it, again, starts with you. You have to think beyond what you just see waiting on you and go beyond that. That's what you were saying about thinking beyond the boundaries. But the boundaries that may be there, you may say, oh, well, this is a small space. Man, we can't do what we normally do. Well, again, as a professional, you learn to condense and you learn to expand when you need to. So you don't have any boundaries. That's what it really boils down to. There are no boundaries when it comes to the gift of the human mind. There are no such things as boundaries. Because, again, you learn to adjust, and you learn to do that quickly, and you learn to do that effectively. And so that's what, you know, being a professional also is all about. So this is what, in grooming some young talent and everything, this is what you start to get them to thinking along those lines. They understand, you know, that thinking process that must take place is something that's necessary every single time. They begin to realize that. So that means I have to come out with high energy. I have to come out very focused. I have to come out knowing that I'm happy to be here and that I'm happy for this opportunity to entertain whoever it is out in the audience, and that I'm also very proud of what I see myself doing. See, they have to see yourself performing and doing whatever you're doing. You have to see yourself doing that successfully before you can actually go out there and do it.
Yes.
You have to visualize that. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. And if you do, then you really truly can go out there and achieve that and execute that and do it. And that's what it's all about.
Wow. You know, I was watching this show one week. I think it's called there's a TV show called a talk show. It's called The Talk. And it's a great show. I enjoy watching the show. And these ladies cover a lot of interesting subjects and everything. And I think, Jerome, you can probably help me with this, but they had a guest on the show, and the guest found some papers in the attic. And these papers were some goals that her brother set for himself at an early age when he was a teenager. And this sheet had a list of goals of how this particular individual wanted to be the number one entertainer, how he wanted to change his image, how he wanted to think. And I think it was Michael Jackson, and his sister Victoria was on the talk. And anyway, she was the one that they used the paper that she found of her brother and on how he set goals to go beyond the boundaries and to break success barriers just by writing down what he wanted to do and thinking and concentrating on it. So give us an example of this entertainer or another entertainer that you have observed over the years and you like the way they think and focus, and so they really transition well when they get out on stage.
Well, to be honest with you, there are so many great legendary entertainers out there that have shown that type of attitude and shown that type of ability and have proven that this is the way and that this is a part of their key to their success over and over. Just very quickly, a few people like someone with the type of attitude like Patti LaBelle.
Yes.
Gladys Knight.
Yes.
Diana Ross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like Luther Vandross.
Yes.
Marvin Gaye.
Uh-huh.
Lou Rawls.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Uh-huh.
Nat King Cole back in the day.
Yes.
Was a very good example of quality and class.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that he come out and project what he did. And again, it goes back to seeing yourself in that particular light before you ever step out there. And this is what really makes a unique difference, in other words, between one artist and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you must believe this in your own mind and your heart and soul and spirit. And those that do, you can tell when they come out and make themselves available to a viewing audience or a listening audience, you can tell that this commitment and that this understanding is very well implanted in their hearts and in their minds and in their spirit and their soul. So it does really truly make a difference. And you mentioned about the letter that setting goals that Michael Jackson did, that Victoria shared with the audience on the talk. Well, yes, you hear that from educators, you hear that from parents, you hear that from friends and advisors all along the way as you grow up and you continue to mature, that people do tell you that, yes, you have to write some things down sometimes just so you be sure yourself of what you're committing yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about it is great, but when you write it down, that just reinforces what you're already thinking.
Yes.
But again, it has to start with you thinking. And that process, again, going back to that word, what you're saying about thinking, you have to think about it first.
Mm-hmm.
Before you can even write it down.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as somebody writing something down if they didn't think about it first.
Yes.
That's like my mom used to say all the time, that's putting the cart before the horse.
Okay.
And that's, you know, that's a backwards way of doing things, and it doesn't even make sense.
Yes.
So the true process is to think first, and then you act accordingly and respond accordingly, whether it's writing it down or whether it's recording on tape or whatever. But again, just going again beyond the boundaries of what you normally see yourself or where you see yourself, like say right now, you set the goals to say what's going to take me further or what's going to get me beyond a certain point if I'm stuck somewhere or if I'm at a certain point and I want to move forward. what's going to take me beyond this boundary that I feel like is surrounding me right now? What's going to propel me? What's going to motivate me? What's going to inspire me? You know, you got to think about all those things, which that also brings up a point about the type of people that you have or that you allow to be around you or that you choose to be around you, whether they're friends or relatives, associates, or whatever. One of the quickest way of understanding kind of why things may be happening with you is to take a quick look and ask yourself a question about who are the five closest people or influences surrounding my life right now. If you take a look at just the closest five people surrounding your life or involved in your life, that might tell you or give you a clue as to why you are where you are and why you may be destined to go in what direction you're going in, just from, you know, evaluating and analyzing that answer.
Oh, wow. Man, I tell you, I am so excited to have you with us again, and I admire you for your success in the projects that you worked on and a lot of the great accomplishments. But, Jerome, I got to ask you, and you struck something when you mentioned about looking at our friends and looking at the five closest people to us. Now, I know when our friends or our family members can also be a distraction, or we can have other problems that get in our way. Jerome, how can people deal with distractions? And look, I want you to cover that, because this is an area where people get bogged down in. And what we're going to do, I'd like for us to take a quick break, and I want you to come back and explain to us how entertainers can deal with distractions. So, folks, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick pause, and Jerome is going to address distractions and how to get on top of the distractions that get in your way. Thank you. Okay, folks, we're back, and we just took a quick break, and we have with us here on the Mr. Motivated Show, for those of you who've tuned in with us, we have Mr. Jerome Roy, who is an entertainer, educator, also event planner. He's has an organization called the Texas Media Literacy Association, and Jerome is really doing some great things to bring education to our youth in the form of media literacy and how to make it effective. And our broadcast today, we're covering thinking beyond boundaries. We want you to break your success barrier. We want you to go beyond where you were last year or what you did to even a greater height or higher level on your next project. And that's why we are excited and honored to have Jerome Roy with us here today. Now, I hope you have your pens and your paper ready, because we want to ask Jerome, and this is one thing that really holds a lot of people hostage. And we are going to, we want to ask Jerome, what about distractions? What are boundaries? Okay, I know someone is asking me, what's a boundary? Anything making a limit or a border in your life, that's a boundary. All of us have boundaries. Okay, Jerome, this is what everyone is excited, everyone is anxious to hear. How can we avoid distractions? How can we deal with things that get in our way? How can we deal? How do we deal with haters? How do we deal with sabotagers? People that just don't want to see you make it. People that don't want to see you be successful. How do we deal with that?
Well, I'm going to share something with you and your audience that helped me. I always think back to one thing right away, that one of our greatest leaders, Martin Luther King Jr., said that the true test of a man or woman's character is when they are faced with adversity. So, on that note, every time you are faced with any type of adversity, and part of that, when you talk about adversity, that can become, that can also include, rather, challenges.
Mm-hmm.
When you mention about obstacles,
yes,
and people trying to obstruct you and to get in your way to keep you from achieving something,
mm-hmm,
or accomplishing a certain goal, or trying to keep you from going in a certain direction.
Yeah.
It includes all of that when you're talking about facing adversity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about it is, here's what I'd like for people to remember.
Okay.
The enemy, as far as on a spiritual level,
mm-hmm,
is not concerned about anything you call yourself out there doing,
mm-hmm,
when you're going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
The only time, basically, that you're going to sort of encounter significant challenges or significant adversity is when you start going in the right direction.
Oh.
Especially if you're a true person of God, or you really believe in God and you trust God,
yes,
to lead you and guide you into the achieving the goals and to arriving at the destination or the directions you're trying to go in your life. Well, when you start getting there, that's when the enemy says, oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. I have to get busy now.
Okay.
Because as long as you were going around in circles,
mm-hmm,
as long as you were choosing the wrong road, when you keep coming to the fork in the road, as long as you keep choosing going left when you should have been going right, then he's happy. He has no problem with you.
Okay.
He'll just be sitting back saying, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, you're doing just great.
Uh-huh.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
But the minute you figured out that you're on the right path the way God is trying to get you to go and trying to help you go, and you start going in that direction, now you got the enemy's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to start to have some trouble.
Uh-huh.
And not just you. Because he will, not only in order to attack you, he will attack those that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, especially even ones that are closer than friends.
Yeah.
Your relatives.
Huh.
Because those are tools that he uses that gets the best results out of, because those that are close to you, they mean much more to you. In other words, so that means that can affect you in a much stronger and deeper way.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to hit you where it counts.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's below the belt, whether it's an uppercut, or whether it's an overhand, you know, across. So it's just, I'm saying, something that you have to be aware of. Again, it's like going against gravity.
Yes.
Where as long as you're trying to go up,
mm-hmm,
the force of gravity is going to pull you down. You know, it's going to pull you down because that's physics.
Yes.
So if you're not trying to go up in the direction that God wants you to go and to a positive direction in your life, then the enemy is fine. You're not going to feel any kind of force pulling against you. You're not going to have any kind of obstructions going against you, because that's what he wants you to do, is not be going in the right direction, is not to be, is to not be achieving any of these things that is meant to happen in a positive way, because he's all about conflict, confusion, and causing mayhem, and God is just the opposite. You know, so, again, my advice is to remember, every time you're faced with adversity, just remind yourself and say thank you, because that's reassurance and that's confirmation to you. every time you receive those challenges or face with those challenges, be thankful to God. That's a reminder to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pointer that you can pay attention to that you are going in the right direction.
Yes.
So you persevere and you move forward with determination.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find that as you go forward, you will understand why the enemy was trying to block you and deter you, and why you received the type of adversity that you received. And the stronger that adversity is, the bigger the conflicts are, that tells you you're closer than you could ever imagine. So as you run into these different types of challenges and conflicts and, again, adversity, pay attention and be grateful that you are moving and you're basically going in the right direction, and you may be right there where you need to be.
Wow. Now, I wanted to ask you, I know you're big on thinking and using the mind. But do you think there's a difference between thinking and worrying? Do you believe that some people do a lot of worrying and they think that's thinking? And do you think there's a difference between the two? And if it is, you know, tell me how that works, because there are some people that they just almost give up and they just sit around and worry about somebody picking on them or trying to stop them.
Well, I'll tell you what, thinking and worrying about something is pretty much very closely related, because
mm-hmm.
thinking, again, is a process.
Yes.
And a mental process.
Okay.
And worrying is an extension of that process.
Oh.
And the thinking part depends on what you're thinking about.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing wrong with thinking. It's always a positive. It's always a positive thought that anybody's thinking about something. Because if you're not thinking about something, that means you don't exist anymore. Your life is finished. You're done.
Okay.
Because whether we want to or not, as long as we're alive, unless we're in a dead sleep, our mind is going to be thinking about something.
Okay.
No matter what it is.
Yes.
And so, but worrying is an extension to a thinking process, to that thinking process, and what that boils down to, it reminds me of a sermon a preacher once preached about needless worry.
Okay.
Needless
uh-huh.
worry.
Uh-huh.
What the gist of that was is that we, a lot of times, spend too much time and put too much energy and effort into worrying about something, worrying about things that you really have no control over, worrying about things that are beyond any type of power that you have to do anything about.
Okay.
And worrying about things that you, again, you have no kind of resolve to achieving any kind of resolve for, rather, and again, that's what his whole point was about, needless worry. And again, if you also trust God and you put everything in his hands to lead you and to guide you in the direction that you need to go in and things like this, then once you hand it over to him, you shouldn't be worried about anything.
Okay.
Because if you're worried about something, that means whatever it is you put in his hand, you went back and got it.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
In other words, if you put it in his hands, whatever it is you're thinking about,
uh-huh.
that may become a concern of yours,
yes.
which that worry has very heavily into that word, concern. So whatever your strong concern about something is, when you hand it over and put it in God's hands, then you should have no worries. Because if you truly believe in the power that God has,
uh-huh.
give him all the praise,
yes.
and know for sure that when you put it in his hands, you can leave it in there, in his hands.
Yes.
But the problem comes in, too many people go back, just try to snatch it out of his hands, and that's why they call it worry. Because No, they thought they left it in his hand, but if you worry about it, you didn't leave it in his hand.
Gotcha.
If you leave it in his hand,
mm-hmm.
there is no worry.
Yeah.
When it comes to believing and trusting in God, there is no worry.
Mm.
Because he's the master of everything, so that you have no reason to worry. That's why the preacher was, again, making that point, needless worry. What are you worrying about this for? If you put it in God's hand, why are you coming back with any kind of concern
uh-huh.
and trying to worry about it? You know,
wow.
So either you put it in his hands and believe and trust him, or you don't.
Wow. I think I like that. In fact, I got a picture as you were discussing, mentioning that. In other words, what if I get a bunch of baggage and I get my old luggage and I throw it in a dumpster and I'm through with it? I should go on. But if I'm going to go back to the dumpster and get the old luggage back out, I'm back with the same problem again.
Exactly.
Wow. Jerome, we know that thinkers like setting goals, and they like achieving and breaking the success barriers. Now, we know that you have really stepped out in faith to launch your latest project, and to me it's exciting because you are bringing people together and for excitement and entertainment, but at the same time, you're educating them about history. And I'd like for you to tell us about your latest project. Is the Jubilation?
Yes, Box Springs Juneteenth Jubilation.
Okay, the Juneteenth Jubilation. And you said that's in Box Springs?
Yes.
Box Springs, Texas?
Box Springs. And that's kind of like right on the borderline of Mesquite on one side and Dallas on the other.
Okay. Well, all you that are listening, make sure you take down these notes because Jerome will be in Box Springs and he will, this event is scheduled for June the 15th. Is that right? I'm gonna let you go ahead and find a little more.
Yeah, that's correct. The event, the Box Springs annual Juneteenth Jubilation, it will be taking place on June the 15th, 2013. That's a Saturday. And it actually starts with a very rewarding and enriching, enrichment type activity for the young kids.
Uh-huh.
Now, parents get their kids up early in the morning to go to summer camps and different things like this. Well, this will be a great time for them to get their children up to learn a little piece of history, because there will be a Civil War reenactment.
Wow.
From 8 a.m.
Uh-huh.
to 9:30.
Is that right?
And that ties in to teaching them some of the connection of how the Juneteenth celebration began and what the whole purpose behind it in the first place.
Now, is this something that everyone can be involved with from all different walks of life?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think some people get caught up in, oh, it is June 19th. It's a black thing. So you're saying that this is for everyone, no matter what background, what color, what race, this is something that everyone can enjoy and learn from.
Almost definitely. And,
by the way, this brochure is magnificent. Man, I don't think I've ever seen a brochure so beautiful. But go ahead and share a little bit more.
Well, it will be a very diversified, festival, in other words, and we're expecting a great turnout. Last year, just on the regular city property,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it's actually outgrown, that they had over 1,200 to 1,400 people that came through during the daytime on that. And this time, we actually have an evening event that will take place from 7 to 11.
Wow.
And that's actually free to the public, for the adults, in other words, and that's the time for the adults to have some great mature adult fun with live music, where myself, my actors, Jerome and friends, will be entertaining, doing a lot of smooth jazz and some good old R&B type music, and
yeah.
you know, just some of the oldest hits and things like this. just some things that we know a good diversified audience would enjoy participating in. And the food, of course, all this for the evening time fun is that's free of charge to the adults that come out to help us close out the festival. And during the daytime is a good day of family fun because they have a lot of great things for the kids and for the family to enjoy as a unit. Mm-hmm. Starting again with the Civil War reenactment from 8 to 9:30. And also, when you first come through the gates, there will be anti-auto theft type organization that will be set up that you can just pull your car right around into that area and get free etching on a lot of the parts that these auto thieves, in other words, use the steel. They will actually etch your VIN numbers on those parts to make it easy for them to trace and get your, your stuff back, in other words.
Yeah, exactly.
So that also will help to give you a little break on your insurance for the car, because once you tell your insurance company that you have that done on your car, then that will qualify you to lower your rate some, you know.
Wow.
And so that's a good thing about it.
And actually, that
one little thing there by itself
is worth the price of admission. Lower your insurance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the price of admission for adults is $10 to get to get in. And
okay.
But again, just
that's
that one first thing that they do right there automatically, you know, makes that worth that. But then of course there's many, many other things that are going to take place once they get in there. And so many other great activities, a lot of different other type of live entertainment going on with gospel, you know, some blues, a different variety of music that'll be taking place. During the course of the day, that will actually also take place a Miss Juneteenth pageant during the day from like 12 to 3. That will be going on for some young ladies that are going. One of them are going to be crowned Miss Juneteenth.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating for the young people. There's a lot of fun activities like fishing. There's a nice little lake on the right.
Oh, I love fishing.
Yeah.
Oh man, and there's a lake out there as well.
Yeah, yeah. And this whole property is a 90-acre piece of property here. This. This is a great outing for a family.
98 acres is huge.
Yes, I'm going to tell you. And on this property, there's going to be a lot of things available. Like they got powerboat rides. We're going to have a hay ride going on. There's basketball court. There's a volleyball area. Just a lot of different fun things for them. There's a putting zone out there for people to take place and do some different activities. And there's just a lot of things that will be happening, including one organization, the Aztecs Indians will be doing a ceremonial that they do for that last youth, about 3 hours.
Oh,
and they'll
wow.
have their own little area. And they have their own following also that this happens annually for them. But what they did this time, instead of doing it like, say, on the 21st of June, they've actually moved their ceremonial process up to the date we're having this event at the ranch.
Awesome. Yeah.
So they'll have a lot of people that come out that normally follow them for this annual ceremonial, ritual that they do. And it's a great thing. People were around last year, they was talking about how exciting it was just to watch what they do. And that's just one of the activities, watching them. And they, of course, dressed up in costume, but just in their particular, cultural, custom and wear that they normally take place or use rather doing a ritual like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fascinating.
Okay, I'd like to ask, now for those of you that are interested, you want to check out this awesome event, is this your website, Jerome?
Yes.
BSJJ.info.
Yes, it is. That's the shortcut link to our website for the event. You can get all the information that you would like to have, and we are still continuing to look for some more additional sponsors
and
vendors.
It's not too late for us. You're a vendor, you want to get in on this. Is there a number that they can contact?
It's all on the website.
Okay,
yes.
Just go to the website, bsjj.info, and you can get all the information. And if you want to participate in the event, you're a vendor, feel free to come out. And this is a great event. We're very excited. And those of you who love jazz, you know they got rid of our jazz station on that we had here in Dallas, but Jerome is going to have that, and it's going to be awesome. Again, folks, thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today. We look forward to being next time next week, and also I will be at the Juneteenth event, and I'm
sign a few autographs, meet some people. Hey, Jerome, thank you for coming out today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And, folks, again, check us out, Mr. Motivator, DwightJeffrey.blogspot.com. We look forward to seeing you same time, same place, next week for another exciting show on the Mr. Motivator. Have a great weekend. We love you all. See you next week.
It's my money, and I lost everything. And the sun stopped shining, and it rained all the time. Oh, it got me back some, but I made it through. But I never do you know how much you need to? Should have told you, 'cause it's true.